Basically, summing up the issue, we've used this model that the Beis Havad people had brought up as a kli, kind of to discuss our whole framework here. So let's go back to that case. You hire a driver to drive you to the airport, and then your friend says, "We'll take you for free." So you want to call up and cancel, and the driver says, "Sorry, I needed this job and I don't have any other possibilities. Because I took your job, I lost the opportunity to get a job with anyone else." So the Shulchan Aruch has a psak that you are obligated to pay him for that time, pay him as a whole bottle. And we had discussed already last time why that is, so just to very quickly sketch out the reasons again, because we have to keep them in mind in order to understand all the other points. But why should it be? Why don't we say that whatever loss was caused to the driver is grama, mevatel kiso shel chavero, it's a causational loss, and therefore it shouldn't be something that you're chayav to pay for. So we saw essentially about five ways to look at it. One way is that in the Hanami, that's true, that was the view of Mayor Rutenberg, and the boss is indeed Potter. That's apparently not a winning view. It's not even brought in Shulchan Aruch or in the Shach and the Sma, and therefore all later poskim say you can't even incorporate that into a kimmel. You can't even say that you hold like that at all, because it doesn't make our radar screen. As others point out, it's not clear that it's the only view of Amram Rutenberg on this matter. So whatever it is, this doesn't make our table, literally and figuratively. So what are the other views that all maintain there is some kind of chiyuv? What's it based on? So we went through the possibilities. Either that it's based on garmi, and why should it be called garmi instead of grama? Maybe because it's more of a definite loss in this case than a normal causational situation, or because you are being mazik, the person himself, and that's a hezek onto the object more directly. We also discussed the possibility of being davar ha'avud, under the assumption that these are two different theories, as we'll discuss today. And also the possibility that it's midin arvus, like the Ritva says. Also, the Ktzos emphasizing the theme of sheves, the fact that Torah itself tells us there is a chiyuv to pay for lost wages, and how exactly that fits into this. We mentioned some kashas on that theory. And the view of the Nesivis, that essentially you have a takanas chachamim here, it doesn't have to conform to any existing rules. Within the Ritva, we also mentioned the Mordechai that has a slightly different mahalach, that the Ritva says you're chayev because you cause somebody to rely on your promise, and the Mordechai says that when you make such a deal, you essentially explicitly agree to be chayev, and that's where the chayev comes from. So that's where we had been up to so far. Any questions of any of that? Any issues? All right, so to pick up on some of the points today, so first of all, what are some nafkaminas? What difference does it make whether you hold one reason or the other? So there are some discussions about it, just to kind of put it in a easy to remember framework. So if you focus on the davar ha'avud versus garmi reasons, and the assumption that they're two different reasons, as Rabbi Akiva Eiger maintained, so then garmi is essentially midinei nezikin. It's based on the idea that you caused a hefsid. And davar ha'avud is probably a maintaining of the poel relationship, that you keep the relationship going. So therefore, it would have a nafkamina any time where you're not really responsible for the loss, per se. If there's a loss that wasn't your fault, like let's say some point out, what if they couldn't get a job anyway? If they tried to get a job after you drop them and there were jobs, they just couldn't get them. So then maybe you could argue that's their mazel, for example. Or what if the rate changed? And so now they can only work for less because the rate changed. You could also, as Eger points out, that's one of the opportunities he points out. So you could say that's not your fault. That's essentially the rate, the market's problem. So that doesn't necessarily fall under a hezek. That might be davar ha'avud might obligate you, but the hezek doesn't necessarily fall into that category. Hi.
Are we going to get the kind of chamim lecharetz, all of them together?
You mean all the reasons together?
I mean, you say that part of the abundance in the Mishnah itself is that people don't be chosen no matter what. So even if it's not a netzek, meaning that the price went down or something, so it makes sense that Chazal be gozer there in order that you don't just sort of treat the contract as a...
Probably, but it's a little bit open for discussion. This is not Beferish and the Nesivis who promotes the theory one way or another. So the later Svarim, although I mentioned a couple of the contemporary Svarim that have been written about this, Mishpatei Achoshen, Mishpatei Apollon, etc., so they speculate about this, and they don't have a definitive answer because we don't really know, but it's a fair guess. And the Sefer Mishpatei Achoshen, he also points out... That's the Pesachei Choshen. All the Sfarim have very similar titles. That's what you, anything that has Choshen in it, you know. Last year we saw anything that has Tal in it, you know, it's certain themes that come up. So it points out in the Sefer Mishpatei Choshen, which does not have any one single author, it seems to be written by a Machon. So in the Mishpatei Choshen, they point out that even though we've said that you can't say Kimli to get yourself out of the Chiyuv because the view that you're Patul Lagamri doesn't make it onto the table. So that's true if you want to just say you don't recognize this whole concept. But if you have a scenario where some of the reasons apply and some don't, so then you would have the grounds to say Kimli, like the view that I'm Patur in this case. And if it's a case that doesn't fit into all the categories, so then that would seem to provide a Kimli opportunity for the Balabas, and that's also a factor that comes into these differences. He also notes that if you say it's Garmi, that Garmi is very possibly a Knas. The Gemara has a machlokas in general about whether we indeed do adjudicate Dina de Garmi, and if we do, it's possible that itself is a Takaras Chacham, which is similar to what Aaron was just saying, except different from the Nesivus' view that this Davra Avedin is a Takaras Chacham, but it could be that the whole concept of Garmi is also its own Takaras Chacham, that really it's still essentially a Brahma, you're still really Pater Minat Torah, but when something gets a little bit more direct, so we don't want to let people off the hook too easily, they're going to just do whatever they want with people's property, and find some way to do it a little bit indirectly. So maybe as a knas, we put in this whole system of garmi. And if that's true, so then you could say, for example, if it's a clear shogeg on behalf of the boss, let's say he thought that he needed a job today and he got his calendar on, or something like that. Or if it's a situation of yorshim, the person involved dies and he passes it on to his yorshim, so then it's fair to say there would be no garmi in such a case, that it would... perhaps be susceptible to certain differences if it is a knas that is meant to keep people away from purposely doing these kinds of damages. That's another point. Included also in this whole suffix is also how do you assess this whole Eino Yochel situation, right? If we say that it's based on the situation where they could have gotten a job yesterday and now they can't get a job today, so what if that's unclear? What if the facts that are necessary for that equation are not necessarily obvious? And the workers come and they maintain that that's true, they could have gotten a job yesterday and today they can't. And the boss says, not true, there was no job for you yesterday either. It's only because I came in and invented this job that you ever had something. Without me, you wouldn't have been any better off. I was potential gain for you, but there was no loss that was caused by my involvement. And the workers say, no, yeah, we could have gotten other jobs, and you stopped us from taking those jobs by stepping in. So if they argue on the facts, then what? So then it could be back to advantage Balabas, because the Aruch HaShulchan writes that the burden should be on the workers. Hamotzi Michaver Levaraya. So if that's really the case, it's also probably dependent on the reason a little bit, that if it's a Nezikin kind of situation, then you have an easier time saying that it's up to the Nizok to prove that there was a Hezek here. Maybe some of the other reasons allow for a little bit of a different relationship. Again, that's also somewhat of an open question, but again, you'll still be left with a Machlokis and a Kimli, but theoretically you can make a case that some of the other reasons could have allowed for a different view. But it's also an important question, so what if working within the Aruch HaShulchan situation, so let's say it's before the fact. Let's say you call up the guy and you say, I'm canceling you the ride. And the driver says, you can't do that to me. I don't have any other possibility of making a living today and I wouldn't have yesterday. So do you have an isser to pull out? That might be a different threshold. It could be that had you pulled out and the guy came the next day and said, you have to pay me my salary anyway, because you were mazik me, all right, the burden would be on him to prove that he was nizok by you. But what if it's before the case? Is there an isur l'chadchila to pull out? You could ask really two questions. One is there a chi of latzis l'day shamayim after the fact, that even if the Aruch HaShulchan, again, all working within the Aruch HaShulchan situation, so let's say he's right, there's no actionable claim. They can't sue you after the fact for the money. They can't successfully sue you. But is there a chi of latzis l'day shamayim to pay them, even if Bezdin can't force you, and before the fact, not to pull out in the first place? So the two both, this is a question some of the Achronim discuss, you could say that the two have a shared kind of structure to them. That in terms of Latzei Sledei Shamayim, so some of the Sfarim suggest, it depends on just how questionable it is. If you really have no reason to think that they're right, and it's just because they're claiming they're right, so then it's hard to say that really creates a suffix on you that you have to Latzei Sledei Shamayim for. But if there is some viability to what they're saying, it's just they can't meet a burden of proof to get a Bezdin to take the money away from you, so then it's possible that there is a chiyuv latzeis sidei shamayim, and also corresponding to that, a chiyuv not to do it in the first place. Because why is the threshold so different in the first place? Because it's an important principle to understand, and we talk about nezikin, and we say grama b'nezikin is pater, so pater only means that, again, Bezdin can't collect. It doesn't mean always necessarily there's no chiyuv latzeis sidei shamayim, as we just said. And it also doesn't necessarily mean that it's mutter to do. Because it could be that there's an isser, it's very likely there's an isser. There's certainly an isser to cause somebody damage, even if Bezdin's not going to be able to collect. It gets into the whole topic of what is the isser nezikin, and maybe we touched upon that in the couple of contexts, but separate from that question, the whole of a kamashir quali of what is the isser nezikin, but the fact that there is an isser that we'll take for granted, and that, for example, may be the isser lashon hara, the way the Chafetz Chaim understands it. For example, it could be the lashon hara is usser because it causes a loss to the person you're talking about, and even though it's causational, it's grama, you're not going to be able to sue somebody for it. But still, it's also a chachila. You can't do something in advance that's going to cause somebody such a loss, so it could be that's the nature of the Isser Lashon Hara, and that's an example of this. So again, the same kind of scenario, that if you believe the guy at least, even if the guy doesn't necessarily have the ability to prove it, but there is some credibility that you are causing this problem for him, so then that might cause a Isser Lotzei Sidei Shemayim, Isser to do it, and a Chiyav Lotzei Sidei Shemayim, which would radically change the playing field here, and that's an important consideration. It certainly raises the stakes beforehand of whether or not you can pull out on the guy, and that's another issue. It's another issue to consider. A different point has to do with the question of, we talked a little bit about defining what a poel batel is, that we probably went over last time, I think. What the rate for a poel batel, or what the phrase, because that we discussed already. But also, it's a question, let's say in our specific scenario, where he's a taxi driver, so then it might be possible to argue that we break it down into components. That whatever the price is, part of the price is for his time, and part of the price is for the rental of his car. This is particularly possible to look at today, because at least nowadays, maybe it's always the case, but there are services where people will hire themselves out to rent to drive your car. So what's the difference? Find out how much people charge to drive your car and how much people charge to drive their own car. And then you could argue that the difference between the two is the cost of the driver's time. And the chiyuv here is presumably only for the driver's time. That's how the Ketzos assumes. So if you look, you should definitely look at the Ketzos inside Shlomo and Gimel Beis. It's not so long. He goes through all of these points. I mean, a lot of the key points are there in the Ketzos. You should definitely make sure to see it. So the Ketzos there maintains that the chiyuv is only for the worker and not for anything else that's profit-making besides the worker's time. So it would include, let's say, a horse, in the case the Ketzos talks about, or as others for him, the Nesivos and others point out, if he was going to sell things, so those things don't necessarily fall under this category, or any other type of profit he had hoped to earn that wasn't from his direct labor, wouldn't necessarily be subject to all of these considerations. Jonathan?
That tells me, it goes to the Yad Ramah about whether or not we say all the Dal Dvarim are going to be relevant because it's Garmi or not. Mm-hmm. So he quotes a case of Kav al Keter. What's the case about?
The case that he quotes?
I think read it to
him. I don't
know what the case is.
He's saying that that was a case of Kav Brahma.
We expound on that case.
Might not be the best Chazara time use, so maybe we'll try to get through the Shittas first, then we'll maybe see if we can pick up on that, because I want to make sure to cover everything today. But maybe we'll come back to that. So just in terms of some of the other issues, though, so in terms of this question of separating out the car and the worker, so this is what he maintains, that you wouldn't, well, he's supposed to talk about cars, but he maintains that the horses or anything like that would not be included in this whole concept. And you could argue with that. You could argue on that from a couple levels. First of all, you could say, like the Machad Ephraim says, that we don't separate them out. That Lamaisa, you're hiring the worker at his rate. And the fact that he figures out his rate based on a combination of his resources and his time is not something you have the ability to separate out. It's also possible to argue based on the question of what is the nature of the chiyuv. Is the nature of the chiyuv garmi, or is it shaves, or is it davar ha'avad? So some of these svaras would seem to apply specifically to the worker's time, and some would apply to everything. So for example, if you say that garmi is based on the idea that it's a definite loss, and that this guy, this is what he does, he rents out his taxi and his driving time, so then presumably whatever applies to his time should apply to the car also. So you could make a case that the Ksos is wrong about this for either angle, or more than that, but the fact is that, again, you'll have the same kind of Kimli situation, so any of these fakis will tilt in favor of the Balabas, but that's another factor that you possibly have on the table. So the other side of this whole equation, which we have to spend a few minutes talking about, is what is the nature of this Davar HaAvad concept in the setting that it actually is in the Mishnah. Right? So we've all just been talking now these past few minutes about something that's not really explicit in the Mishnah. Now what about the other side of the equation, the fact that it really is in the Mishnah, that if the Poelim pull out in a way that causes the Balabas a loss, and the scenarios that the Mishnah discusses is, let's say his resources are now open and exposed to spoilage, and because he doesn't have workers who can right away address the task, so it's going to create a loss for him. So that's where the Mishnah says, Socher Aleihem U'Matan, so either he hires other people at their expense, or he has to convince them to work, tell them to give him a higher rate, and then he's still entitled to pay them the initial rate because it was their mistake. Hi?
Is this like an exception to Gnevis Das?
So it's a good question how it fits in with the whole Gnevis Das. Presumably it's a kind of an Ovid Ishtinel Nafshe type of idea that they're really, the Mishnah is essentially saying that it's also for them to do this, which is a point that we'll address in a second, that they don't have the right to pull out and cause him this problem. So it's their job to fix it. So if they're not going to fix it, so then it's legitimate for him to do what he needs to in order to get them to stay there, so to speak, in order to...
And according to some shit, he never does Esther Dereza.
Correct.
So he can't even do this Dereza? Any Esther Dereza too?
No, for sure not. But the question is that maybe that's kind of built into the system, that Gnevis Das is that you're...
I mean, according to Rashi, definitely not lock your toe, because it's definitely not...
Would be in terms of the fact that it's deceptive in general, right? So the issue seems to be that they are treating you in a way that is also essentially deceptive, that they're pulling out and causing you a loss, and you have a right to be able to remedy that. So therefore that's included in the initial arrangement. So you have the right that they should stay on the job at that initial term, and if there's no way to force them to do it otherwise, then that's a legitimate approach.
Gnevis Das is extremely pragmatic. The rest of the whole reason why Gnevis Das is the person giving Makar Tov Bechina. In this case, you're telling him you're going to pay him more. That's going to make the workers very happy that you're going to pay him more. And they're going to be Makar Tov, but really, he's not going to make them.
Except that they don't have the right to put you in this position in the first place. Right, if you stam want to impress them, in the case of Makar Tov Bechinam, you stam want to impress them with how generous you are, so then you'll have a problem like that. But here, they're basically extorting you. Right, they know that they took the job, and now your resources are open to be spoiled, And now the only way...
It's the intent of the person being Ganeiv Das, that's what you're saying?
Well, that's definitely a din within Ganeiv Das, that the intent makes a difference. But here, it's also the scenario that basically they're trying to take advantage of you. Essentially, it could boil down to intentional or not, an attempt by the workers to extort the boss. So you're not mechayev to play along with their extortion. So, you know, that it's the fact that they're willing to do it from the higher rate, right? It basically comes out. It wasn't necessarily the plan to begin with. But they're basically saying that, well, we're going to pull out unless you pay us more. It comes out that way, at least retroactively, because we said you'll pay them more than you stay. So that's not right. It's not right of them to take the deal and then to change the rate on you. So essentially, since that's not right on their part, so then you're not mechuyev to protect their right to get the extorted rate, even if you indicate that you're going to agree with it. So what's that then based on? How does that work? Why should this be true? So here you have the same kind of theories. Right, and the theory is all basically saying that essentially, as we just said in response to Aaron's question, that there is some chiyuv on the part of the workers not to let this happen. So what is the chiyuv? So we have what parallels the shittas that we saw in the other direction. Just there are some nuances. That one thing that the reasons that come up generally parallel the initial reasons. For example, you have the ritva, the same ritva, who says that you have a reliance on the guy, and since he made you a promise and you lost out because of him, so he's chayiv. So the ritva says it here also, that they promised the boss they're going to do the job, and now they pulled out, and therefore they should be liable for that. So then, as the Chazon Ish discusses, and as the ritva himself discusses, so why should we limit it? If it's basically a monetary chiyuv, so then why is it limited by their wages, or maybe double their wages? But why don't we say whatever the loss is, they should be chayiv? Right? The loss doesn't necessarily correspond in any way to their wages, because the loss is of materials, which if you can't find workers to replace them, if you can find workers to replace them, so it's basically back to wages. But if you can't, so then it's going to be some other number. So why should it be limited by their wages? If they basically chayiv for causing a loss, why should it be limited at all? So the ritva essentially indicates that the issue is that the chiyuv that's basically implicitly accepted when you cause somebody to rely on you is based on what is foreseeable. And if it's not foreseeable that it's going to be such an excessive loss, you could think, okay, listen, I'm willing to take the hit for you relying on me, based on the assumption that it's some type of foreseeable situation. Okay, so you can't do it. You're going to have to hire somebody else at a higher rate because I left you hanging. All right, I'll accept that achrayus. But how much is it going to be? Okay, twice the rate, maybe. Is it going to be more than that? It's not so shy. So therefore, that's perhaps a reason to limit it at that. You also have those Rishonim who may say that it's based on garmi. Some of the Achronim quote that the name of the Rishonim, the Chazon Ish, and others say that's the view of Tosfos and the Rush. However, they don't actually say it in this case, they say it in the other case. They say it in the case of the Balabas towards the workers, and these Achronim assume that they mean that that's how the initial din operates. And there again, the question is, okay, so if it's Garmi, so then it's basically a din in the Zikin, so why do we limit it? Why do we say that it only goes to twice their salary? So you could say also that garmi as a knas is something that is imposed only in a likely kind of situation. That's one possible way to look at it. And again, more than twice as much the rate is not a likely situation. Or also, the whole concept of a garmi is where it's pretty much a definite kind of hezdik. So again, to say that it's going to cost him more than twice as much is not definite. That's beyond the boundaries of what you could call a hezdik barer. And therefore, also in the Tzad Garmi, one could argue it should be limited from that perspective. So that's all working off the assumption, which is against what we said before from Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and indeed he disagrees over here as well, that Davar HaAvad basically is Dina de Garmi, because here we're explaining Davar HaAvad based on Dina de Garmi. And when we were going in the other direction, we said it was two different approaches. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger indeed would disagree, based on the fact that if it's based on Dina de Garmi, so why should we limit it? And also, why shouldn't we say that they should have to pay out of their pocket for a loss? Let's say, for example, the boss doesn't try to hire somebody else. Right? The whole mechanism that we find in the Mishnah is the boss can try to hire somebody else or push them back to work at their expense. But let's say he doesn't do this and he ends up taking a monetary hit. So they're not obligated to pay out of their pocket. So why not? So that may reflect the fact that Davar HaAvid is a different kind of din. However, it's interesting to note, though, there is one view in the Rishonim that does maintain there is such a chiyuv to pay out of their pocket. That is the view of the Hagos Ashri. It's in the Sibud Beis and the Rush. And the Hagos Ashri is the outlier in the Rishonim. He essentially says that there is a chiyuv to pay out of pocket for a monetary cost.
Doesn't it seem to make most sense in that it could be very likely that the cover of the case is literally going to be oven, like within half an hour of the quitting? Why do we assume that he has still have another 24 hours to find other workers to be socher malayan for them?
Right, so theoretically it could be. I mean, theoretically it could end up taking...
So even though from the other Rishonim, though, if it's a case where it's really dover avod, like you have within the hour or something, even then they would say you still can't take it out from their paychecks?
That's what it sounds like. Yeah, it sounds like that essentially it doesn't contain a monetary chiyuv.
So no one can fix that anyway.
Right, so with Hagah Sashri... It has a whole different understanding. It says that it does contain the monetary chiyuv in such a case, and that there is a davar avid in even without that, which is a double disagreement on the other Rishonim. The other Rishonim would say the whole davar avid only exists when you're causing him a demonstrable loss, and the Hagos Ashri would say there's a davar avid in even without that, and that when there is a monetary loss, then it's actionable.
So according to the most Rishon, that maybe you could say the whole idea though is just to prevent extortion, but if it's too late anyway, then everything would be damaged anyway, is the point, so then we say there would be no one could be extorted anyway because he lost everything.
Could be. You also find, again, like the Nesiva said, in both directions at Takanas Chachamim, so that's also the explanation. So basically, all of the svaras that you have, by the balabas towards the workers, you have different versions but parallel of workers towards the balabas. There were a few other points just to quickly catch up on before we'll have to end in a few minutes, but we'll consider ourselves finished with our chazar, so we'll assume that we'll have the chinas on Tuesday on schedule. But just a few other points that we discussed. One, we talked about a difference between a polo and a kavlan. That if... that all of this din should really apply only to a poel. That the poel could argue, I couldn't take other jobs during those hours because you had tied me up. But as the Menchas Pitim quotes from the Ravid, that if it's a kavlan, so then the balabas could say, who told you you couldn't accept other tasks? You can accept other tasks on whatever schedule you make. It's not my fault that you didn't accept the other task. So that creates some complicated scenarios when you have, let's say, a taxi driver who maybe it's a task, he's technically a kavlan, but he has to pick you up at a certain time or else it's not going to be effective, so it's somewhat time dependent, but it's also a task. So how do you categorize that? So in general, the post can point out here that it really all depends on the circumstances, that moving away from the technical definition of a pole or a kavlan, it really boils down to the question of could he realistically have taken other jobs during the time that he would have been working for me. And this is also nogeya to the situation that Javitzkov Zilberstein discusses in the beginning of the parak, where this man wanted to sue the bus company because the bus didn't come on time and the next bus didn't have room, and he ended up having to hire a taxi to take him to a wedding. So is that considered to be a pole or a kavlan? Does the bus company have the right to pull out? And are they liable? So that's a little bit of part of the discussion. How do you look at it? Do you look at it as a poel because he has to do the job at least starting at a certain time, or as a kavlan because essentially it's a task? So in this case, it does come down a lot to the metzius. Could he realistically have taken other jobs while taking your job? Or essentially, even if he's a kavlan, but because of the realities of life, it just wouldn't have been possible for him to take other jobs while holding on to your job. And therefore, that's essentially the issue. Another major question that seems to be a machlokas among the poskim is the remedies available to the balabas. So can the balabas force the guys to work? Can he take them to Bezdin and Bezdin will compel them to work? So it sounds like from most of the Rishonim that yes, that essentially what this means is that they don't have the right to pull out in the case of a davar ha'avud. That's, we go back to the whole extortion point, that this is essentially, goes back again to why he has the ability to do these remedies, because they don't have the right to pull out, and therefore he should be able to compel them to work as well. The tour has a slightly different lashon, which suggests a little bit differently, that that's not necessarily a remedy he has, but that he has the other remedies, because since they changed Yado Amala Tachtona, that therefore the burden is on them, they have the disadvantage because they mess things up. Okay, I think those were most of the things that that we spoke about.
Forcing them to work, that would go under in the Mishnah suggestion of Sofer Land or Mita?
Neither. That essentially, that's what's implied within the whole structure. It's a reflection of the fact that he had to do all this because they were not really able to pull out. I think those were most of the things that we spoke about. So we have to address your question, and we also have to, after the Bechina, we have to pick up with Holchu. That was the one part that we didn't totally finish within the sugya. And then next on our agenda will be Poliyach Lachzer B'chatzi Yom, which sounds a lot like we've been talking about so far, but introduces whole other elements into the conversation. So that's our agenda. So tomorrow, Chazer, Tuesday, we'll have our